Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The list grows even though the towns themselves faded into obscurity. SDPB's Vanished Towns of Yesterday looks at who we once were and what remains of many of our forgotten communities. SDPB's Stephanie Rissler is traveling the state in search for the places that are no more for an upcoming documentary. She joins us from the SDPB Vermilion Studios with an update. Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, Lori, it's good to be back.
You have been everywhere, I think.
Well, we're trying to make that happen.
Yeah. So. Also with us in the studio, SDPB's Heather Benson. She joins us for a look at how this project is coming together online and with your participation. Heather, thanks for being here as well.
Thanks for having me.
All right, let's start with you, Stephanie, because this is a documentary project. You've joined us before on the show. You can go to SDPB's Living blog and see many updates on that blog with how this is progressing. But give me an idea of just how is this going for you personally? Because this is I'm almost overwhelmed looking at how much material you're gathering, but yet you're having a great time, though it's a lot of hard work.
It's a lot of traveling. It truly can be hunting for a vanished town, if you will. A lot of these vanished communities, there's nothing left. There might be a little bit of foundation. There might be a building. There may be nothing but a cornfield today. And so it's trying to figure out where exactly these communities once were. It's trying to track down the stories. One of the things that I have found is sometimes there's two sets of stories. There may be that oral history that came from those who grew up in the town, but yet there might be something different in terms of what historians have been able to dig up. And being able to be respectful and touching both of those stories, because both of them are important. So it's been fun. It's been interesting. It's been humbling. You know, we have a beautiful state, and when I get to travel, I just remind myself I'm lucky I get to see this.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Every time you get in the car and out of the studio in the car, you're like, oh, that's right. This is how incredible, incredible it is. And often you kind of get the idea of what it's like to listen to SDPB radio on the way across the state, too. So there's a connection there as well. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to some of... or let's get some updates about some of the places you've been. Tell me a little bit about Albee.
Yes. It's pronounced Albee. You know, some of these things we don't know.
Right.
And it is, you know, it's in Grant County. And this was a town that really was booming before the 1930s. It was a railroad community. And once the Depression came through and the railroad disappeared, the town really started to decline, which is a common story for many of these towns. But there were a handful of stores. There was a school there, a couple elevators. There's a quarry not far from this community. And so it was once a thriving little town. And they were able to connect me with a woman by the name of Erna Cahill. Erna will be 103 years old this next April, and she shared with me what it was like growing up in this town, what it was like homesteading in that area with her family, who were came over on the boat from Germany, and her stories were unbelievable, just sharp as a tack. A lovely, lovely woman, and it was an honor to be able to just listen to her speak of what yesterday used to look like.
All right, let's hear a little bit from Erna that Stephanie brought back for us.
And my first name is Erna, and in German it's pronounced Erna.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you speak German growing up?
I speak German, I still do.
You do? Can you say something in German?
Ich kann Deutsch sprechen.
And what does that mean?
I can speak German.
Oh.
My mother used to say to us, when she would speak German to us, it was easier for her than to learn the American way.
I bet.
Yeah. And yeah, hear that?
Yeah.
Oh, what a delightful conversation, Stephanie. That must have been a joy for both of you.
She is such a wonderful lady. And one of the stories she talked about, she lived in, the home that she lived in was with her husband and her husband's family. They had no electricity, and so they had two wells. One was the water drinking well. The other is where they would lower the food down to keep it cool. And she also spoke of living in Albee during, I guess, what would have been the dust storms. And taking clothing and blankets and wetting them down and putting them around the window sills. And when you walk through the town today, you know, those houses aren't there anymore. There's no signs of, you know, two different wells. But it was certainly easy to imagine after visiting with Erna as she described what life would have been like back in the day.
Should we listen to a little bit more from her talking about what the town itself was like?
Yeah.
When I came there, there were still there, well, three elevators, and there were three hardware stores, and so that was quite a town. But by this time now, when I was married, the railroad was taken out, and it had fallen by the wayside. My mother-in-law told me that if you wanted to buy Christmas presents, you didn't have to go to Millbank to buy them. You could buy it right in Albee. It was once a really good going town.
Okay.
And the surrounding farmers, a lot of them did their grocery buying and things there.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guests are Stephanie Rissler and Heather Benson, both with South Dakota Public Broadcasting. And we're talking about this documentary in progress of Vanished Towns of Yesterday. And Heather, you know, it's the days when, you know, Stephanie would go out and sort of work on a documentary, and listeners might not know what was happening or over, because now we have this great social media presence and digital presence as well. Tell us a little bit about how some of this is unfolding online.
Well, this whole documentary, I think Stephanie spoke with you last time, was partially inspired by the huge social response we got to a Dakota Life segment we did on some other vanished towns. And so when Stephanie embarked on this, I said from the get-go, we need to stay in touch with these people who are so excited about what we're doing. And it's proved a huge resource. Not only are people, Stephanie's been busy, but she takes the time to tell a story on video about the town and in the setting. We did one about when she was at Texas Town last month, was that?
Yeah.
And then you start to see some more of the story unfold online as people share what they've heard, or a family photo they might have, or reach out to Stephanie and say, hey, have you ever talked to so-and-so? And it's not only us sharing the stories that we're gathering, but people sharing the stories that they have that we would have never known about if it hadn't been for social media.
Right. Yeah. Heather, tell me about the map.
Well, one of the...
Or maps in general. The maps, yeah.
One of the things that we're going to be doing for this project that we've never done before is a component of it. We hope to do some crowdfunding. It's not... We're a public media station. Everyone knows about pledge drives and how we fund our programming. But to give back to the people who want to be a part of this, we wanted to make this unique map that would feature all these towns. However, in trying to make that map, we discovered that you can grab from 1872, 1881, 1896, 1904, and you will not find all of these towns on one map at one time. So it's been a process of discovery. If you go on sdpb.org/vanished, you can actually look at some of the maps we resourced from the Library of Congress to help literally put a picture together of where these towns were at in South Dakota. But thanks to all these resources, thanks to a lot of our fans who sent us maps that they had on their wall, they sent a picture of it, we were able to properly locate all the towns in Stephanie's list that we have so far on the map, and we'll have a beautiful archival quality that people can hang on their wall if they so choose.
Yeah.
Stephanie, the list of towns is growing. Not all of them will make it into the documentary, but many of them are being talked about online. I want to skip ahead a little bit to... Now, I'm not sure how to say it. Is it Moritz?
Moritz, yes.
Moritz, it's, all right, yep, I got that one.
Yes, it's in Duell County, and this is one of those communities where oftentimes I'll reach out to the small museums across our state, the different county museums or the historical societies, and I'll pick their brains, see what they have in their vaults in terms of stock photos or old photos. And this is one of the towns that came up. They told me a little bit about it. And what I discovered was it really wasn't a town. There was maybe 16 people that lived there at the most. But when I told the folks, they said, you know, I want to come and I want to get video. I want to learn a little bit about what Moritz looked like. I showed up at the museum and there were seven folks from the Historical Society that showed up that had a connection with the community. They once lived there. And we got to sit down and we got to interview them. And we went out to where Moritz used to be. There were some farmers that were out working the ground. They knew we were coming and they came out of their tractors and wanted to say hi and tell us exactly where everything was. And we interviewed a lady. Her name is Elizabeth Bogolka. And she taught in the one-room schoolhouse. And she taught in 1956, and the school had started years and years before that. But she shared a story with us, and when we sat down to interview her, we had not yet visited the schoolhouse. So I don't know if you guys are going to play the clip from Elizabeth, but...
Yes, let's do that first, and then we'll give them what you discovered after you talked to Elizabeth.
Sounds good.
It was one room, and then it had a little entry. And out there was always the water, and they put their coats out there. There was a stove in the middle of the room, and I had never started a stove like that. So Mr. Giese, his name I believe was Walt, would come every morning in the winter and build a fire because the teacher from out east didn't know how to build a fire in a country school. In the fall, the boys wanted to hear the World Series, and so I brought my radio, and I took it outside at recess time so they could listen to the World Series. They thought that was great. It was just kind of homey, yeah. And I remember sitting on the steps and teaching Marilyn Osmussen how to embroider while the boys listened to the ball game. And the piano was something. I'm not a piano player, but I can play a little bit, and I guess they hadn't had a teacher for a couple of years who could play the piano. So I'd play the piano and we'd sing, and they liked that. So it was just good memories.
I love that. What a great story. You can see that happening.
So,
All right, so what happened next?
So we interviewed Mrs. Bogolka. We went out to where the town used to be, and the only building really left is that one-room schoolhouse, and it sits all by itself. And we had gotten some video of it from far away, and a farmer came, and we said, you know, can we go up closer? And he said, absolutely, you can. Don't worry about trespassing. It's fine. So we go up, and we're getting video, and we decide to peek inside the window, and the only two things in that building was the wood-burning stove and that piano that Mrs. Bogolka talked about, amongst a ceiling that was falling down, wallpaper falling down, lots of rodent tracks. There sat those two things that she had talked about.
Oh, wow.
So it was an amazing day.
Mm. Stephanie Risser, good work. Enjoy the travels out there and the hard work, but we all appreciate and are benefiting from that. So thanks for being here today as well.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Heather Benson, wrap us up by giving us a reminder of how people can find more about this project and really participate by sharing their stories.
If you go to www.sdpb.org/vanished, we're going to be archiving all the stories that Stephanie's gathering, photos, videos that she's doing as we prepare to tell this whole story as it comes to life, probably in 2019. There's a lot of towns left to visit. If people have towns, if they have stories, if they have something they'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. And we have a form that you can fill out and get in contact with us there. And don't hesitate, because it's the little stories that we never knew we'd find that sometimes make the best television.
Heather Benson, thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.